Hey everybody, this week we're talking about change.
Change is good.
Yep, thanks Rafiki, I agree with the baboon. Change is good. But a lot of the time, it's also really scary. We like our routines, we like our systems, they're comfortable, they're safe. Think about the last time you were on the edge of a big change. Maybe you were looking at getting a new job, or perhaps losing a job. Maybe you're thinking about getting married or trying to expand your family. Regardless of the change you're about to embark on, there is one question that each of us will wrestle with, and it's this. Is the timing right? Is now the time to embark on this change in my life? Is now the time to chase this dream? Is now the time to answer this call? In our scripture from the book of Esther chapter 4, we find Esther and Mordecai at a tipping point, not just in their relationship, but in the lives of every single Jew in Persia. If you're not familiar with the story, Esther is the queen and also a Jew, and Mordecai is her uncle who raised her. Now, the other two characters we need to be concerned about are King Xerxes, the ruler of most of the known world at the time, and Haman, who held a high position in the king's court. Now don't worry, I'm not just gonna keep adding characters as the story goes on to make the plot more complicated instead of making it more interesting. This isn't Game of Thrones.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Yep. Thanks, Queen Cersei, we know. Anyways, the king issues an order that everyone should bow down to Haman when he passes to show their respect. But Mordecai refuses to bow down, and Haman notices. He gets so angry about it that, rather than punishing Mordecai, he decides all Jews need to pay for Mordecai's slight. Haman convinces the king to issue an order for the genocide of every Jew in the kingdom. Haman's power and position were never actually in jeopardy, but because he was driven by the fear of losing his power, he becomes obsessed with holding on to it, no matter the cost. Spoiler alert, it doesn't work out well for him, but we'll get to that another week. This week is about Esther. She has a choice to make. Mordecai finds out about the plot to kill all the Jews, and he tells Esther, "You have to go to the king and beg him to save our people." But there's another problem. There's a law that says if you go into the king's presence without being summoned, and he doesn't extend his golden scepter to you, you are to be put to death.
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Thank you, Cersei. We know. Now, Esther hasn't been called to appear before the king in almost a month. She sends word back to Mordecai and says, "I can't do it." She's scared, justifiably so. Here's Mordecai's response from chapter 4, verses 13 and 14. "Don't think for one minute that unlike all the other Jews, you'll come out of this alive simply because you are in the palace. In fact, if you don't speak up at this very important time, relief and rescue will appear for the Jews from another place, but you and your family will die. But who knows? Maybe it was for a moment like this that you came to be a part of the royal family." Another translation says, "You have come to your royal position for such a time as this." God is constantly moving in our lives and in our world. Each one of us was created with unique gifts to be able to do the work of building God's kingdom. And all of us are served up opportunities to showcase the incredible diversity of God's gifts. In order to do that, we have to set our timing aside. We have to listen for God tugging on our heart, calling us to move, to act, to be used for God's glory. We need to—
When you play the Game of Thrones, you win or you die.
Okay, seriously, Cersei. Well, okay, hang on. She actually brings up a good point that we need to talk about. There's this idea going around that in order for me to win, you have to lose. It presents itself in all sorts of ways, and sadly, even comes from the church a lot of the time. This idea that there's only so much love to go around, so I need to hoard it for myself because feeling like I'm loved is what's most important? If the God you serve only has enough love for a certain few, then that is a very small God, and not the one I see described in scripture. We are experiencing intense division in our country right now. It's possible a lot of you are feeling that tug from God to do something, to move, and it's making you uncomfortable and apprehensive. Most of the time, when God called the leaders of the Bible to move, they were called out of their comfort zones. Sometimes they were called to stand in harm's way, like Esther, to protect God's people from those who would seek to marginalize and eradicate them. If you feel that call in your heart, then perhaps you were created for such a time as this. Perhaps the time is now to speak out against racism and inequality of all kinds. If you look like me, now might be the time to stop defending yourself and start listening. Trying to understand the experiences of others. For most of us, the time is now to start being the change we want to see. Our God is so big, y'all. We've got big problems, that's for sure. But our God is infinite. And the amount of love God can pour out into the world through us is also infinite. I can't promise you it will be safe. At the end of Esther chapter 4, Esther sends this message to Mordecai. Even though it's against the law, I will go to the king. And if I am to die, then I will die. Don't play it safe with your love right now. Take the time to ask God where you should go and how you should move. Then move. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word and your love. Help us to be a people that work to build your kingdom in our communities, in our families, and in our churches. Help us to recognize the special thing you've created us to do in this moment. Let us follow your timing rather than our own. Heal our land, Lord Jesus. Use us for that purpose. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.